struggle that we have yet to win. Time to do a brief introduction and get things rolling. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Donald J. Jackson. I'm one of the co-organizers of today's event alongside Lizzie Welty. I was born and raised right here in Cairo, and I was motivated to help organize today's event after I attended the previous rally in Cairo and saw the amount of negativity that came out of it. So we saw a truck drive past us multiple times, laughing and flying the Confederate flag on the bed. We saw community members giving us dirty looks as we walked by. And after the event, Facebook was flooded with comments about how black and brown members of the community should leave if they don't like the way it is here. Even organizing today's event, people were unafraid to tell us it has no place here, that they hope it downpours on a parade. One local business on Main Street even went as far as to look into organizing a counter-protest for today's event. But all the negativity aside, we've all taken the time today to join this global pandemic to show our support for the POC here and afar. The last event was only a small handful of people, and today we have a display of strength in numbers. We rallied to say that we stand in solidarity with our black and brown residents of Cairo, Greene County, the Catskills, New York State, the United States, and the world. Before I continue, I just want to give a big thank you to the team over at WGCX, Wave Farm, and ACRA, who are currently broadcasting our event over the radio. So I'd like to now give the mic over to Carodrome graduate here, Mrs. Tina Martinez, and she will be performing a song, Billie Holiday's Strange Fruit.
Southern trees bear strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood at the root, black bodies swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Past burning flesh. Here's the fruit for the crows to pluck, for rain to gather, for the wind to suck, for the sun to rot, for the tree to drop. Here is a strange and bitter crop.
Woo!
Okay, so we have one more performance. So this is another quick thank you to Mark Vaya, who offered to set up all the speakers and the mic today. And here is performing "Won't Back Down" by Tom Petty.
Say it out loud. We don't want to ignore these people's loss and what they mean to all of us. We have Trayvon Martin, 17, from Miami Gardens, Florida, killed for walking down the street in a hoodie. Tamir Rice, age 12, Cleveland, Ohio, killed for playing with a toy gun in public. Eric Garner, 27, Staten Island, New York, killed for selling loose cigarettes. Philando Castile, 32, Falcon Heights, Minnesota, killed during a traffic stop for announcing he was carrying a registered firearm. Sandra Bland, 28, Hempstead, Texas, killed prior to her arrival to county jail, labeled a suicide. Alton Sterling, 37, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, killed for selling CDs. Ahmad Arbery, 25, Brunswick, Georgia, killed for jogging in a neighborhood that wasn't his own. Richard Brooks, 27, Atlanta, Georgia, killed for sleeping in a Wendy's parking lot. Breonna Taylor, 26, Louisville, Kentucky, killed while sleeping. George Floyd, 46, Minneapolis, Minnesota, killed for a potentially counterfeit $20 bill. This list is just a small fraction of the Black lives that have been unjustly lost at the hands of a flawed police system and the systemic racism that plagues society. I'd like us all to now take a moment of silence for 8 minutes and 48 seconds, the amount of time that George Floyd had a knee held to his neck before dying. Thank you. It's painfully long time, isn't it? Silence may feel uncomfortable, but that's the exact point trying to be made here. The conversations we need to be having are uncomfortable ones. The Black Lives Matter movement faces so much criticism because it sheds a light on the ugly truth of what's happening in our nation. It's only through these events that people are waking up to the lack of accountability in the police system or the performative activism of our politicians or the prison industrial complex. So much needs to change, and it starts in the streets. It starts with a vote. It starts with us. I'd also like to mention that we do have a registration table here at this event, so if you're not registered to vote, please take a moment to do so. It's quick, it's fast, and it is your patriotic duty as Americans to make your voice heard.
Thank you. So I'd like to just also point out that we just had water bottles and posters brought in. So for anybody who doesn't have a poster ready, there's markers over there and you can feel free to make them. At this time, I'd like to open up the mic for all of us to share our stories and experiences with one another. So if anyone would like to speak, feel free to come up and take over the mic.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about, I hold this sign for Tamir Rice, because my son also loves toy guns. He loves cap guns, he loves Nerf guns, he loves water guns. And this family now has to live with burying their child, which is every parent's greatest nightmare. And every single one of these people murdered by police had parents, were someone's baby once. So when I think about Tamir Rice, I think about my son. And I'm so glad that there's a registration table here. I'm running for assembly in your district if you live in Greene County. And if you're upset about the situation in Catskill, that they won't do a mural, a Black Lives Matter mural, vote them out. They're elected officials. There have been good candidates in Catskill that haven't been elected. I would really urge you to rise up and vote people out. My opponent engages in the cheapest form of race baiting. His name is Chris Tague. My name is Betsy Kratt, and I'm running against him in the 102nd District. So I just wanted to mention that, and, you know, we're not always going to win. You know, we're outnumbered in some instances, but it's really important that we show that we stand up for each other, and we show that that rural people can rise up and can fight the good fight. Thanks.
Those of you that may have just arrived, again, my name is Tina Martinez. My family lived here for 20 years. I went to school here and graduated from Carroll Durham. So, those of you that were here a little earlier, you heard me sing a song called Strange Fruit. If the imagery wasn't dramatic enough, yes, it is about lynching. When Billie Holiday was made aware of the poem Strange Fruit, written by Jewish communist teacher and civil rights activist from the Bronx, at Abel Mirapol, she felt connected to it personally. She performed it as a song in hushed nightclubs with a single spotlight on her face in the dark, and poured out her sorrow and anger into those few moments it took to sing. People who supported her message loved her for it, but it angered large portions of her white fans, many of whom felt it was inappropriate and beyond the pale for her to challenge white supremacy and racism when they were just trying to have a good time consuming Black music and culture. She performed that song for 20 years, even though the head of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics, Harry Anslinger, made it his personal mission to get her removed from stages across the country for it. Because you see, she was stepping above her station. She needed to be taught a lesson and learn her place. Let's sit with that for a moment. Let's talk about knowing your place. When Colin Kaepernick took a knee as a professional football player in thoughtful protest of police brutality and racism in America for the first time in 2016, he was met with violent ridicule, lashback, and threats against his life. He was told that kneeling respectfully during the national anthem wasn't the right time to protest. He should have known his place, and he lost his job because of it. He is one of many who have tried to use their platform for justice and awareness, and they are routinely beat down for ruining the fun of their white audiences by challenging them this way. It's not a news story, as any of you who have been paying attention know. If celebrities pay huge prices for speaking up, how well do you think it goes for the average person? The person who doesn't have a financial and safety network to back them up. So you're not supposed to speak out at an award ceremony. You're not supposed to speak up out to your audience at a concert. You're not supposed to call out your neighbors or coworkers when they spread microaggressions far and wide in your daily life. You're not supposed to cause a scene at the local town hall or school board meeting. You're not supposed to march down to the police station and demand justice for the wrongs that happen every day all over our neighborhoods in this great country. Right. You're supposed to know your place. I know where my place is. So please, tell me, when is the right time to speak up? Tell me what is the right way to use my voice as a Latina and person who has experienced racism right here in this town growing up. Tell me exactly how to protest in such a way that I don't make my white neighbors uncomfortable, in such a way that I don't actually affect any change at all. Or you know what? How about you not? How about you don't tell me the right way to use my voice? Minority voices have just as much right to be heard, have just as much to offer as the rest of society. And if our voices are angry, if our voices break with passion and grief, you do not get to police our tones and tell us the right way to speak to you and to the establishment. While white people love to eat our food, sing our music, wear our fashion, it's supposed to be on their terms. Billie Holiday, Colin Kaepernick, and so many others have paid huge prices personally and professionally to entertain us over the decades. We hold them up until they make us uncomfortable, until it's inconvenient, and then we burn them down for being uppity, for using their voices to shine a light on the darkness at the heart of society. When you call yourself an ally, remember that fickleness. Remember that minorities of any status are the ones left behind when it's no longer trendy to walk with us and national attention moves on to the next outrage. But we're still here trying to live our lives and make a better future. Make sure that you pace yourself and you continue to show up. Continue to amplify our voices. Continue to put your bodies ahead of ours when violence breaks out. Please, for the love of all that is good and true in this world, please don't leave us hanging like so much strange fruit. Right about now, the police that are helping organize this with us and make sure everybody's safe, we told them we'd be ready to go right about this time. And there's going to be an opportunity for people to speak as well when we come back at the end. So we're going to leave here. We're going to go up the little road that I can't remember the name. Joseph B. Spencer Lane. We're going to cross the street to the left side of the street as you're going towards the school. And we're going to walk on the sidewalk, try to be safe, make sure that you're not going into traffic. Remember that there may or may not be negative interactions. Hold your head high. Take the high road. Just keep on walking. It's their problem, not ours right now. And then we're going to go to the school, turn around, come back, and have more entertainment and speaking.
exactly like my best friend when I went to school here.
You're not going to make friends. You're going to be the biggest mistake.
The hair, the face, the figure, you look so much like my friend. I haven't seen her in almost 25 years. A spit an image, but thank you both for showing up.
Love! 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 Black lives matter! excited. peace! No peace! No peace!
So the mic again is open if anyone wants to speak. We're going to have two more musical performances in a little bit, but I think that we should take this time to, you know, share some more stories and, you know, get ourselves uplifted.
Come on, there's got to be somebody that'd like to share something. Share an experience, share a hope, share a fear. This is a great place to make your voice heard. A lot of events are not this open to just letting anybody come up. So if you have something to say, please do come up and share a story or something that you'd like other people to hear, something you think is important.
Thank you all for coming. My name's Robert. I'm just turned 32. I grew up in the South and then moved to Durham when I was 13. And, you know, I grew up with some, my parents are both from New York, but still I managed to grow up with some interesting ideas about history and race relations and crime, looting, and you know, this last thing has been very eye-opening, just getting tired of seeing the same thing occur almost on a monthly basis. because there hasn't been any school shootings lately, so. And, you know, this past month, been to several protests, always been politically active on Facebook, but that only goes so far. And just learning a lot, learning where I've been wrong, that my ideas have been wrong. And of course, coming from the best place, you know, my ideas about the institutions that protect us, supposedly. This has been, a great experience coming back and, you know, seeing a couple people I know who are new, and, you know, also being so glad I don't live here anymore. This is really, I did not think it was going to be this depressing. So, thank you all.
Prepared. Whatever you hear in this moment is coming from my mind and my heart, and that's all I can give you. I don't think this place is depressing. I'm sorry, but I disagree with you. I think we live in an absolutely beautiful place with so much to offer. And there's so much going on these days, so much we're hearing, so many stories. Terrible stories, horrible stories, and it's sad. It's really sad. And all I can say is, and we hear this often, is be the change you want to see in the world. Yeah. Reserve your anger. Be kind, be peaceful, and give love wherever you can, whenever you can. Thank you.
My name is Anthony. I've lived in this community for the last 20 years. I've raised my children here. They've gotten off into adulthood, I think, fairly well. I do love this community. I love the people of this community. It has been very good to me and my family. I know that as we stand at this point in time in our nation, that we have many issues that we're looking to deal with. I want you to know, as I stand here with you, some of you might consider me the opposition. So I thank you for allowing me the microphone. But I want you to know, I don't come here to oppose you or to oppose your cry for justice when people find that they have been suffering at the hands of injustice. What I would like to do is ask both myself and both you to step back for a moment. We live in a moment in time where our country is like a tinderbox. There are issues. We can either choose to do things that will make them better or make them worse. And I think that over the last few months, with all the things that we've experienced, in our best desires, we have perhaps made things worse and not better. So I want you to know, as I stand before you, I do believe that Black Lives Matter. And I hope that this is not controversial, but I believe White Lives Matter. I believe Hispanic lives matter. I believe Asian lives matter. And I know that you said it's not what you're talking about. And I understand that. However, you can take the mic away. I won't fight you. That's fine. That's what I would hope for as a conversation. I came here not to oppose you. I came here not to create a problem. My point is.
Her over there with black. Yeah,
right
okay.
Bingo.
No, let him finish.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Let him finish.
No.
I'm just gonna offer a song real quick that speaks to why right now we're talking about why Black Lives Matter. Because my brothers, I can't hear my brother saying, I can't breathe. Now I'm in a struggle and I can't leave. Calling out the violence of these racist police. We ain't gonna stop till our people are free. I said, we ain't gonna stop till our people are free. That's why we're here. Until all of our lives are honored equally, we raise up those who need to be.
Somebody.
Come on, sweetheart. I saw this speech from the movie The Hate U Give, and it said, it's the same story, just a different person every single time.
Yeah! Come on, baby girl.
Portillo, and I just think that we need the respect as a Black woman and being independent for what we need. And if you're not going to respect that, then don't say anything disrespectful at all.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Elena Cortillo. And I just wanted to say that we should all be treated the same, no matter the race, no matter how we act, and no matter what we are, because we're still people.
Yes.
And we still need rights, no matter what. We need justice, and we need peace.
Yes.
If you want the world to be happy.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Mary, and I am privileged because I am white.
Yeah.
I know it took me a while, and I'm speaking to the man who spoke before, and I hope he's still here. I want you to ask yourself, would you change places with a Black man? Would you be happy to do that? Would you change places with a Black woman? Would you change places with a trans Black person? Would you? No. And the reason why, can you walk into Walmart and not be afraid that you're going to be followed by a cop? Can you walk down the street in your neighborhood? Can you walk down the street in your neighborhood, in a mixed neighborhood, in any neighborhood, and not be afraid or not be concerned that people are looking at you? Can anybody here say that they
acknowledge
you? Not the way that you want me to.
I'm a white woman and I acknowledge.
So let's listen. I didn't stop him. So just know that I want you to think about it. I read about a man who lives in a mixed neighborhood. He's a large Black man. He can't walk through his neighborhood without walking his dog or his child, without getting looked, without being afraid of being confronted. So I just want you to know that that's what the people are talking about. They want to be able to be free. They want to be able to walk wherever and not be afraid that people are going to be looking and the people are going to be calling the cops on them. A friend of mine, I was a teacher, and a friend of mine had a black son. She was white. Her son got beat up in Albany a couple of years ago. He's a beautiful human being. There was no reason. Whenever I drive down the thruway or look for people stopping cars, I'd say at least 50% of people of color who are stopped by the cops. At least 50%. And how many of them, if they see the flashing lights, are terrified for their fucking lives? I am not terrified for my fucking life. Excuse my friends. You know, we've got to stop this. It has to stop. It has to stop. Thank you.
All right, so we do have a couple of performances that are going to be coming up. I know that there's at least one more person that has been waiting to speak patiently. So we're going to just have a couple more voices. I understand that this is passionate, that there's a lot of high feelings on all sides. We are here today to elevate voices of color. That is why we are here today. This is a special occasion, a special event to elevate voices of color. I know I look white. I am 100% Puerto Rican. Which makes me a little bit black. Makes me a little bit black. That's where I get my ashy elbows from. Makes me a little bit Taino, which is island Native American, and some Spanish colonizer. We had no choice in that. Okay. So I come from black slaves, Native American, Caribbean slaves. And you know, we are Boricua, soy Boricua. You know, we're here to elevate these voices today. Because the national conversation is, by and large, about the status quo normally. This is not normal times. So I do want to give a couple more people chances. I'm not an organizer. I'm just helping out today. So let's bring a couple of more voices up. And then we do have people that are going to perform. And then, you know, y'all want to hang out and have some more conversations, meet some people in the community. Please just make sure that, you know, unless you're speaking, you're wearing a mask and social distancing, so we want us all to be safe right now. So I'm going to have a couple more people up.
She's a rescue. She's a little tricky. My name's Jane. I just want to, this has been an issue, race, profiling, gender, anything and everything that we, humanity, decides to look at people and say, you are. It's the worst aspect of our humanity is insecurity and a need to be bigger, better, or compete. I grew up on Long Island. I lived through busing on Long Island. I'm a lot older than a lot of you guys. I internalize and empathically feel all of this stuff and have my whole life. And the worst thing is that despite my background and my education and my work dealing with housing, employment issues, and all that kind of stuff, having a very diverse friend circle, hosting people from around the world when I had a bed and breakfast in Harlem 5 years, and showing them New York City from that vantage point, which they loved. Aside from all that, to learn in the last couple of months the history that I have learned, that I had no idea about, and I was speaking earlier with some people, the way I knew there was a Levittown, I knew when I went to kindergarten and got put in the corner because I wanted to play with the blocks at recess, but I was a girl. And girls were only allowed to play with the dolls. You know, social programming, what the heck? What the heck's wrong with, you know, programming. I was aware of all of that. And I have lived my life through this. I have learned about, despite Urban League reports and writing on that, all these things, the fact that the government subsidized and excluded. So when World War II ended and people came back from the war, white middle class was built by subsidizing white families. Okay, that's fine. But they excluded anyone who wasn't. They denied they weren't allowed to sell. So these, and then I don't have, it's, I've got so much in my head, I can't begin to promise I'm giving it to you clearly. But I know in California or in the Northwest, they had housing that was built for the whites, and that was basically permanent housing, you know, subsidized housing. But for the blacks and probably any other minorities at the time, they were temporary. They were not built to last. So when we look at, you know, people talk about reparations for slavery, and it becomes such a, you know, how do you even get there? But this is clear. The way that the white middle class were able to buy property, and then the property appreciates, they make money. So it's not just, you know, that people kind of mulled around and ended up in, you know, urban centers, in a ghetto, in the urban centers, or not. We, our government, we did this. And then there were all the incidents. If you look up Wilmington, North Carolina, Tulsa, Oklahoma, endless lists, Black Wall Street. You learn about how things after the Civil War, in some places, things just actually kind of started to get together until the insecure, the power hungry, incited terrorist type. Trump is getting on China for being, having camps. We're living in a time when this is what has shaped our lives. My only hope is that 40 years after entering my adult life, that this time around, people, we get the whole message and we can move and make a change that really happens. My ignorance, I thought we'd been moving forward. Ha! You know, that's all I'm going to say. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Katie Ann Gonzalez. I'm just a visitor here to CARO for this march, and it's really nice. And I just want to speak to what this gentleman said. I don't think that anyone should alienate someone who is trying to be on the side, the right side of history. But what I will say is that we've heard his story. And these events are to elevate voices of people of color. And the white perspective is the perspective. It is the narrative. When we talk about motherhood or family dynamics, we're talking about white family dynamics. We're talking about an economy that supports white life. So when we're all here and we're saying that Black Lives Matter, it's not that the rest of the lives don't. We're saying that we need help. And it sounds like you need to listen. Because it sounds like you've got a lot of the right ideas. And I see this within a lot of my own family. I'm half white, I'm half Latina. I have problems with all of them. But the point with them is that even though it might get heated, they're my family and they can take it. But it's that, like, I think that they lack a certain amount of empathy and they lack a certain amount of openness to seeing how this revolution will look. The civil rights era of the 60s was not cute. People were brutalized. People were murdered. And that is still happening today. And that's why we're still fighting today. And honestly, it's going to keep not being cute and you're going to have to keep doing it. You're going to have to go and call out your family members, but don't alienate them. Don't cut them off. That's not the point. You want to bring them in and you want them to hear you say, these things matter to me. I want to see these changes. And if they respect you and if they love you, they will listen eventually. It's just going to be hard.
Okay, so we're gonna go into the two musical performances now, and then once that's done, we're gonna open the mic back up. So right now, we're gonna have Mark Vian again, and he is going to be performing Tide is Rising. Okay, so actually, you're going to be performing Tide is Rising, I hope. So this is a tune that was, I think, originally written in support of climate change actions. But you'll see that just like we had some comments about housing discrimination as being intersectional with police brutality, and all of these progressive issues are intersectional in one way or another. And so I think that we need to see it in multiple dimensions, all of the work that we're doing. And I hope that this song speaks to that. So this song is really simple. It's written by a rabbi. It goes like this. Tide is rising, and so are we. The tide is rising, and so are we. The tide is rising, and so are we. This is where we are called to be. This is where we are called to be. Sing it with me, please. Tide is rising, and so are we. Tide is rising, and so are we. The tide is rising, and so are we. This is where we are called to be. This is where we are called to be. Task is mighty, but so are we. The task is mighty, but so are we. Task is mighty, but so are we. This is where we are called to be. This is where we are called. The storm is raging, and so are we. The storm is raging, and so are we. The storm is raging, and so are we. This is where we're called to be. This is where we are called to be. The world is ready, and so are we. The world is ready, and so are we. The world is ready, so are we. This is where we are called to be. This is where we are called to be. Justice coming, and so are we. Justice coming, so are we. Justice coming, and so are we. This is where we are called to be. This is where we are called to be. This is where we are called to be. Okay, and the next one is Feeling Good. We just rehearsed this for the first time right before we started this thing today. So yes, you understand it.
If it doesn't have a karaoke screen, so I get a little freaked out.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. Ooh, and I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean? Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. This old world, this new world, this old world for me. Stars when you shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine,